All right, I guess it's 10 o'clock, so we'll call a public works meeting together, or call it, yep, in order. And Fred, you want to lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Approval of the minutes.
Motion.
October 5th and October 7th.
Motion for both.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, Tom. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? It's carried. Landfill, you're on, Vince.
Okay, the first one is a deed restriction for the Bath landfill.
Join the meeting.
DC requires that we include in the deed the restrictions that they put on us. Like there's certain engineering controls that have to be done on that landfill. They want to make sure if anybody buys the landfill or buys any of the property, that when they buy it, the restrictions put on us carry over to the person that buys it. And we're asking for your approval to put these declaration of covenants and restrictions into the deed and file it with the county clerk.
It doesn't restrict us at all in any way.
No, it does summarize about six things that we do or required to do that they want put right in the deed. Not more restrictions on us.
Okay. Nothing more on us, just that it'll carry on if we don't own it in the future.
Right.
Yep. Your motion?
I think Aaron made the motion.
Oh, Aaron made it? Okay.
I'll second it, but I have one question.
Sure.
Is this the same way with properties that we purchase around the landfill, or is it not, there's no deed restrictions until we actually start using it for the landfill? Like if you buy one property and then you decided you'd rather get rid of it and not keep it.
Yeah, so they don't apply until it's actually used for landfill purposes.
Okay.
Yeah,
Thank you.
That's what this is.
Sometimes we buy land for just a barrier space around the landfill. I don't know if it would it go on to that too if we bought, like we bought in parcels that are next to it, just so.
Yeah. Not usually. The only thing we usually see that goes on those at some point is the noise easements.
Okay.
Sometimes the noise easements do go on those.
Okay.
That's about it.
Because we do buy safety properties around. I call it safety.
Yeah. That's the ones I was.
Liability safety.
Thank you.
Buffer zones.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Carried.
This next one is part of a larger program that we have, and Aaron Mullen asked that I address this at this meeting. He had some concerns about it. Now, in this agreement, the forage disposal from Allegheny County would guarantee that he would bring us 6,500 tons per year for the next 3 years. He would bring it from a transfer station. In the landfill business, transfer station garbage is clean garbage. And he would bring it in transfer trailers, which means it would come to us in large loads, less costly to handle. In return, we tell him we'll let it in for $33 a ton. Now, to give you some background on this program, in 2013, we were coming off of 10 years of losses, averaging about $400,000 a year. I came to the committee and to the board, and I recommended that we have a special fee for special waste, whereby if a hauler guaranteed the tonnage for 3 years, guaranteed it came from a transfer station, guaranteed it, he brought it to us in big volumes, transfer trailers, we would give that hauler the $33 ton rate instead of, at the time it was $42, a general rate at the landfill. But that general rate covers small loads, 1 or 2 tons, could have timber or concrete in it. The legislature approved it in 2013. That turned everything around. It was significant in the landfill turnaround. What happened was we have 5 haulers that took us up on the deal. We have one from City of Ithaca, Schuyler County, and Allegheny County. They brought us, because of this agreement, this program, they brought us 34,000 tons per year additional garbage, an additional $1.1 million in revenue. It turned an average $400,000 a year loss into an average, since then, $260,000 surplus. So not only did it make it self-supporting, the landfill, it kept our landfill fees down. When I came here in 92, the landfill fee was $42 a ton. Today it's $44 a ton, 28 years later. And you compare it to other municipalities, municipal run landfills, operate landfills. We're at 44. Madison is at 80. Oneida Herkimer is at 62. Fulton is at 59. Broome is at 45. Most of them way above us, Broome a little bit. The only one a little lower than us is Chautauqua at 39 a ton. They use our program, the same type of thing, approximately the same size population county as us, bring in twice as much garbage. You bring in that much garbage, it's going to drive the fee down. So, you know, because this program has enabled us to keep our tipping fees down, has enabled it to be self-sustaining, we don't have to go to the tax rolls, the taxpayers, to pay for this landfill. The users pay for it. And I think in large part it's because of this program that's put us over the top. So I'm recommending approving this agreement to LaForge from Allegheny County, 6,500 tons a year, guaranteed for 3 years, guaranteed from a transfer station, guaranteed in a transfer trailer for $33 a ton.
They went to Allegheny landfill, right?
Yes, and Allegheny closed their landfill. Okay. He wants to bring it to us. He could bring it to Casella and Allegheny, but he wants to continue bring it to us.
Okay. All right. Somebody spoke. I don't know who.
Aaron.
Aaron.
Question.
Okay. Go ahead, Aaron.
Two parts. One of them is, what is our cost per ton, our fixed cost of operating the landfill? And then the second part is, how much was LaForge plant paying to Allegheny County in their contract?
Okay, the first question was, how much is our cost?
Yes.
And our cost per ton of garbage at the landfill is $26 a ton. And what was the second one?
How much was LaForge paying Allegheny County per ton?
I don't know Allegheny County's landfill is out of business, so we can't bring it there. He'd have to bring it to Casella.
I want to know what he's paying prior to when he came here. Do you know what LaForge was paying before they came to us?
I don't recall. Steve, are you on the line? Do you know what he was paying Allegheny before he came to us? It was a relatively low price, and it may have been about our 33 because they operate differently than us. They don't, their landfill didn't pay for itself by the users. They went to the tax rolls, so they lowered their fees.
Okay. Steve?
This might be permitted, it might be present. What if they don't meet their tonnage requirement under terms of contract?
I don't recall off the top of my head because it's been a couple of years, but I can let you know. I'll take a double check.
Would it generally be they would then have to pay the full freight?
It definitely would. It would normally be that they haven't met the terms and it would be reverters, what I would expect to the full amount.
I suspect too.
I just don't recall.
It does say guarantee a minimum tonnage of 6,500 ton a year. So if they don't, if they should not bring us the tonnage, pay us the money.
Okay, so it's either pay the extra $33 or they revert to what?
Yeah, to the higher. Yeah, I'll let you know. I can shoot you an email, Steve, when I look at it.
Vince, do they ever bring more than 6,500?
They may, not a lot more, but they may bring a little bit more than that. I wanted to just check a second on that $26 a ton cost that I told Aaron. Just one second. Okay, it's $29 a ton to bury garbage at the landfill.
But does that include our post-closing costs that we have to budget in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as this company, have they been bringing the garbage to us before?
Yes.
Is it the same amount of money, $33?
Yes.
Rick? Are there other potential contractors out there that we'll be looking to take advantage of this type of agreement?
We have, there's four other haulers that when their agreement, ends, I think all of them, except possibly one, will want to extend it.
So it's actually individual contracts?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's on our garbage from transfer stations in transfer stations to the Bath landfill is $33 per ton. Now, this one, actually, LaForge wanted a guarantee on our part that if he brought it to us for 3 years, we would give that price. And then there's one other, the biggest one, same thing. We wanted a guarantee between each other for price over a number of years and tonnage.
Now, do you think there's any room in there to even go to $34 a ton with our costs of wages and stuff going up?
I wouldn't try jacking these guys up a little bit, not even a dollar or two. I mean, we're talking about this 34,000 tons brings to our bottom line $600,000.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend that. I wouldn't try that. It's a good deal now for us. Very good deal. It's saving us. I wouldn't mess with it.
Scott?
$29 that Vince refers to, that's fixed costs and variable costs and post-closure accruals. So bringing in an incremental thousands of tons of garbage, you really only have to cover your variable costs because the fixed are already covered. So, I mean, the 33 is well above what our variable cost would be to have incremental garbage brought in.
What Scott just said is the key to this deal, and it's how private landfills really base their business model on. It's tougher for government to base the model on to get people to pass this. What Scott's referring to is our landfill, our space costs, the cost to build the landfill, the cost to cap it, put 4 foot of dirt and a membrane over it when it's filled, and then the cost to take care of it for 30 years and beyond, you need $15 for each ton of garbage that comes in. Okay? So these people that are bringing us this 34,000 tons, if for $33 a ton, if I charged them $44, they'd say, see you later. They wouldn't bring it to us. So what would happen? We would save that $15 space cost, but would I be able to have less workers, less equipment up there, treat less leachate? No. All that cost, the variable cost, it's a variable cost that Scott's referring to, that stays there. So in effect, when you charge this person $33, it's an incremental gain to the county of 33 over the 15. It's an $18 gain to the county. It's not the gain of 33 over the 29 that I told Aaron it costs us. It's very important. This is what private landfills do. They get a base, you want to say, a base price structure to cover their costs and then to really make it sustainable and in the private industry profitable, then they try to get large volumes at lesser cost. Because it won't add, they won't have to add people. I mean, at some point, if I went up to 300,000 tons instead of 200,000 tons, I'd have to add people, I'd have to add equipment. But I don't have to add it for 34,000 tons.
I'll make the motion to renew.
Second.
All right. Any other questions or discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I just want to also say thank you for the in-depth explanation of that.
Right.
You're welcome.
Give Scott credit. He wants to take credit for this. Okay, the next one is transfer money from the major equipment to parts and repairs. At last month's meeting, in the landfill division, we needed money for parts and repairs. So I asked you to take $32,854 out of major equipment from the Irwin transfer station, and I asked you to take $43,200 from major equipment in the Hornell transfer station. Jennifer looked into this. The maximum we can take out of a major equipment account is $25,000. So I want to reduce both of those transfers down to $25,000.
Make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Just where are you going to come up with the rest of the money?
I asked Orchid if he had it. He said he can find it. I don't know exactly where.
Just curious. That's all. All in favor say aye. John?
Where did this restriction come from?
So Brenda and myself, Scotchman and myself, before when resolutions get done, before they're done, we go line item. So we had to look at the line from which they're taking it from and go into the administrative code and find that line. Well, that's where the restriction was. When it came to you guys the first time around, we looked at the rule of which committee had to approve which amounts. And then when we get into the nitty gritty, so to speak, of actual lines, we found the restriction in the administrative code. Yep.
Okay. All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carry.
Okay, in highways, the next one is a shared service agreement with DOT. DOT's snowplow trucks, one of their trucks, their route goes right by our Greenwood shop. They run out of salt before they get back to their base station. So they use our salt shed. They put a loader there to take our salt. Then they replenish it later. And this is a one-year shared service agreement to allow them to do it.
So there's no cost to the county whatsoever?
No.
They replace the salt,
right? Yes.
It's a renewal, too. This is a standing contract.
Yeah.
Is that a motion, Fred?
Yes.
I'll second it.
All right. Motion and second. Any other discussion? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's carried.
Our B now, upgrade refueling station capital project. We have fuel tanks at all our shops, and we let other municipalities, other departments fuel out of these tanks. So the tanks themselves are expensive, and then you have the computer system that tracks who uses what fuel, so we can back charge them. And so the computer system is another big expense. So since they're using our system, we institute a 12 cents per gallon surcharge above the fuel cost to anyone that uses our tanks. Other departments, it's 1 cent a gallon. So it's built up from that revenue, $123,932.11. And then there's another interest earnings offshoot, 4213.17. We're at the point where we will have to replace the computer system. It's getting slow. We can't get parts for it. We can't get maintenance backup for it. And that's going to be about $250,000. So I'd like to appropriate this money, the 4213.17 from interest earnings and 123932.11 from unclassified revenue into the capital project. So it'll be available for when we come to you, and we're in the final stages of a negotiation, and we come to you for the new computer software system.
I'll move it.
Fred?
I'll second it.
Motion and a second to transfer that money. Any discussion?
Is that something you think?
Okay, go ahead.
Is that something, Vince, that you anticipate doing in 2021?
Do I anticipate what?
Buying that computer
buying system, that in computer system in 2021.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it'll come out of this capital project.
Okay. Okay, any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's carried. Okay, you're on to your commercial driver's license.
Okay, we went through it with you, I think at last month's meeting. It's basically pay Mount Morris BOCES $1,585 for our people to get Class B licenses. If they need a Class A, go to Corning BOCES for Cooper's Plain BOCES for $1,500. We've attached the a pretty detailed policy statement. Chris thought we should, you know, have it written in fully detailed. We have that here for you. Aaron had brought up the question of should we have an memorandum of understanding with the union. Nate and Jen, we're going to look into that.
Nate's in the back there.
Good morning.
Good
morning. Morning, Nate.
We did look into it, and Jen and I went back and forth, and I've had numerous conversations with the labor relations specialist, and what we've come to is that what we'd like to do, obviously with your folks' approval, is to submit a letter to CSEA stating our intent with this, because this really isn't a negotiation piece. This isn't something, this is a win-win for both sides. So it's not something where, you know, we're going to give them something for them allowing us to do this or anything like that, or vice versa. So in talking with the labor relations specialist, he thought that a letter to them, and they would respond, obviously, that they were good with it, you know, would be the way to go, rather than something that's locking us in. So that's our intent, is to do that again with your approval. And we believe that there just really isn't any downside to it. There really isn't. I don't think there's any danger of them, especially the way that we've poured over and over and over this policy, and we think we've got it pretty good. So, you know, we think that's the best way to go.
Okay. Any thoughts from the committee or
questions? I think it's very well spelled out.
Okay. All right, is that a motion, Fred?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, got a second. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? It's carried. Thank you, Nate.
Okay, the bids. The first one is stone fill. The front page is loaded onto our county trucks. We don't use this rarely, except maybe light stone fill up on top. The rest of them, we don't put them in our trucks. They'll beat up the boxes. A big change that's developed now is that the Blades Quarry up on the top of the hill here, they're no longer supplying the medium heavy and riprap. So we've got to go a long ways with our trucks to get it. So I'd recommend awarding, it's a multiple award, the front page. Then we go to the quadrants, each quadrant where they deliver it to that quadrant. This is the one we use. And let's see, the price has gone up. It's gone up from about 35 to 43. Over last year, I think it's because they could. They saw what was going on. And I think it's the best we can do. So I'd recommend awarding to all bidders on the front page and to the low bidders on a line item basis, delivered to each quadrant.
Make the motion. Do you want individual or?
Do you want to do individual or should I go through all of them?
I think we can do them all.
We should be able to do them all, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
If there's one that becomes controversial, we'll separate that out.
Okay. The next one is aggregates. The first page is quarry stone. This one, the prices stayed about the same as last year. So those are good. Award to all bidders. The next page is FOB plant site. We send our trucks, they load the gravel into it or the chip seal stone. This has gone up from about $15 to $15.50. We will use the chip seal stone, the second and third items down. Sometimes, not much. We get our chip seal stone from out of county, from quarries, where it's hard stone, good stone. And the gravel, we crush our own gravel. We don't use this, although this year, there was a 50,000 pile of item four up in a Bath pit that we got a special bid. We got it for very low price, so we didn't have to crush this year. So the second page, award to all bidders. Third page is a delivered price for gravel. Again, we don't use this. We make our own. generally. This price has gone from about 17.10, it's up 10 cents. These prices are good award to a low bidder on a line item basis. But again, we don't, we rarely use it. Next one is Freon. When people bring refrigerators and air conditioners, DEC says we have to remove the Freon. So we have someone do it for us. This bid is $11.50 per unit. Down 50 cents from last year. We spend about $50,000 a year, $15,000 a year on this. And I'd recommend it to EnviroPro refrigerant. The next one is the transfer station compactor. The low bidder is $146,000. At Hornell, this packer is a packer that pushes it in into the trailer, pushes it and squashes it in to get in as much as you can. It's this transfer station is an old transfer station. That's the way it was designed. We need a new packer. Irwin is what called top load. It's our newer transfer station. We don't pack it. You just put it in the top. You just dump it in, and you may press it down with a backhoe. And the question among us came up, should we spend $146,000 on a new packer, or should we rebuild the transfer station to a top load? And to rebuild it, to retrofit it, get new trucks, you're talking $300,000 to $500,000. So I'd recommend, let's put a new packer in for $146. Next one is renew the seeding with soil and water. Jeff Parker and his people, when we dig ditches or back slopes, we try to seed it right away. Jeff does it for us. This amounts to, let's see, somewhere he said how this, I'm trying to get a cost per acre. Five tanks cover 1 acre, so that would be about $1,500 an acre. That's a very low price. That's a good price, so I'd like to extend that with Jeff. He's a great help to us. Not how only do we that, do, in all our...
Do we do all the ditches with that, or we just do the ones on side hills?
My policy is to do all the ditches. Okay. Anything you disturb, seed it in.
Okay.
It'll keep it from eroding, and it looks better too.
Yeah. Okay.
The last one is oxygen and acetylene. Bradley, it's $3,471.79, which is the exact same thing as last year. So I recommend awarding that one to Bradley. That's it on the bids.
Okay.
I'll make the motion.
For a second. Then we got a question. John?
Yeah, going back to the Freon removal.
Yeah.
So we take these refrigerators, compressors, whatever, we take it, we have to have this. So how much do we actually get out of this? What, do we recycle that metal? Are we making any money, or do we have to have this removed? Are we losing money?
We make money on the metal. That's the one recycling item that we make money on, and it enables our recycling system to pretty much break even.
Specifically, refrigerators sitting out there costs us $11.50 per refrigerator.
Yes.
What would we get in scrap after the removal of one refrigerator? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I can find out. Yeah.
Just curious.
Okay.
Like you bring in a washing machine or a dryer, it's 100% profit on
that. It's really, it's going to offset the cost with that because scrap's usually around 10 cents a ton. So that refrigerator, we're probably only getting, you know, $2. I understand what you're saying. I think it's just offset with their bicycles and washing machines and dryers.
Yeah.
Or 10 cents a pound, sorry. $200 a ton.
Yeah. Yeah, scrap's not what it used to be. No. Since the Chinese quit buying. So what else we got, Vince?
Okay, I've got a number of things, FYIs. There's one action item.
Oh, we didn't vote. I'm sorry. All in favor of voting on those bids, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Good catch. Bob, yeah. Sure.
I just wondering, Vince, what our policy is when we have these bids where we accept all bidders, which I understand makes sense to do. How do we audit our compliance with that to make sure that, do we ever spot check them or anything like that to make sure we're trying to get the best price and not necessarily just going with?
I don't spot check it. Everyone's very aware that we go to the lowest price. It's indoctrinated throughout the system. Could we do a spot check? I think we could. I'll look into it to see how that works with the auditor, if that's actually, that may be happening in the auditor. But I know that I emphasize I want it to go to the low bidder, and they do a very good job of it, Rapoli, Orcutt, and Jerry Miller. I'll check that out to see actually how it is being audited, Aaron.
Thanks. I think it would help just knowing, just if people just knew there was going to be a check once in a while. So,
okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Bob.
Yes.
I know you said starting the first of the year, you're going to combine the color glass and the clear glass.
Separate. Oh, yes. Yeah. Combine the.
Yeah. You're separating the plastics.
Yeah.
And that glass just gets crushed and put into the landfill, correct?
Yes.
So what's the motivation for recycling it and not just putting the glass in the trash?
Because we can actually use it. We can use it in cover, and I think actually somebody said something to me about our access roads. I don't quite understand that, but we can use it for cover. And if we didn't use that, we'd have to go dig up dirt.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Peyton used a lot of color out of pressware once for base
on the
road.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember the big piles of white glass and out there right by the county shop in the Caton dirt pile area.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes a good base.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can mix it in and it works.
Okay.
I have a few other things, Bob.
Carol, just a second. Carol.
So I was just wondering, are we doing some PR to let people know starting is it January? That they need to separate those?
Yeah, I've talked with Rich Bills and Steve Orcutt, and here in November we'll start that off. Some of the haulers, I know Erda has already put out a notice saying to separate the ones and twos, but okay. We're going to do that, get the word out.
Okay.
First thing is Bill Hatch has retired, and he has a donation to the county. He has a couple of good storage vans that are in good shape that we could use. One of them's filled with office furniture, which I think I might be able to use in the shops. If I put a figure of $5,000 on it, I think it'd be somewhere near right, and we need to get your permission to accept the donation.
Okay, he's donating it, so it doesn't cost us anything, correct?
Right. All I have to do is go.
But you put a value on it so he can write it off on his income tax, right? I don't know about that. I thought for us to accept it as a donation, we have to put a value on it.
I think, is Andy still on? Andy was going to be. Yeah, Andy's on. I think Andy was involved in the process. He was going to go look at it, and that number was supposed to come from him from purchasing.
Okay.
So we could put a number on it and get a resolution.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just asking for your permission to accept it as a donation.
Okay.
I'm not in any way saying the $5,000 is an
official.
What
he does with his income taxes is his business, but I just was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion to accept the donation.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Motion. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's carried, and we'll thank Bill for it.
Okay. I wanted to give you an update on our road work is pretty much done for the year. When the state funding was decreased by $1.2 million, and when the county manager asked if we could decrease some of our costs so that it could be used for 2021, I took a $600,000 job off County Route 6. The $1.2 million, when I told you how I would address that, I said we wouldn't do County Route 100, and we didn't do it. We'll do it in a couple of years. I said we wouldn't do 57. We wouldn't pave that in Fremont, and we didn't do that. But I said we wouldn't do County Route 70 in Howard, but we did it. We didn't put liquid asphalt injection underneath two roads because we tested the gravel. It didn't need it. It enabled us to do County Route 70. And then I had said we wouldn't pave 74 in Prattsburg, and that we wouldn't put the blacktop shoulders in Prattsburg, that other job. We're able to do both of those. So of the five that I said we wouldn't do, we did three. One reason was the liquid asphalt injection. And the other is Doug Rapley's done a very good job of keeping track of the escalation downward in the cost of asphalt and holding the contractor accountable. We're not paying, we want a credit there. Getting that credit enabled us to do more of these jobs. So the net result, the $1.2 million less that we got from the state, there was two roads I couldn't do instead of five that I couldn't do. And then the other thing is, just one second. The other thing, we had a little road, call it a little road job down in Hartsville on Call Hill. We have a 152-acre plot of land that the county received in 1930. It's reforestation land. It's been landlocked since 1930. We can't get to it. We have to cross other people's land. And I've been dealing with the people down there for literally about 27 years. And finally, a couple of years ago, we got the deal made. We could cross their land with a permanent easement, with a single lane gravel. We put in a single lane gravel driveway. And for two reasons, well, really for us, for one reason, that's our best timberland in the county. We need to get to it. It's good hiking land. For the first time, the public will be able to go across this driveway. And as long as it's there, we said we'd let the landowner that we crossed his land use it. So we finished that. It's about 0.4 mile long, 10, 12 feet wide, 4 or 5 inches of gravel. It cost us about $25,000. And of that 25, 22 was our labor and equipment. It took about a week and a half. So it's a headache that's, I think, been put to rest.
our best county timberland we can get to now without jumping through all kinds of hoops like we have done in the past.
Vince, can I ask a question?
Yes.
At the entrance of that drive, could you put some signage indicating that the county, that land is available to the people of the county and they can access through that road? Because
yes.
Without the signage, as you drive along through there, everything is posted. They're not going to know that that's available to them for hiking or whatever.
We are doing that, Tom.
Thank you.
We're putting up a gate, and we're going to put a sign that says, public land access, walkers only on this driveway. And then on the land, Tom, on the perimeter, we're going to put up a sign saying where the perimeter of the land is. So the public will know they can use it.
Wait, when you say walkers only, will that, does that indicate that hunters and whatever else is not available to them?
Yeah, we don't want vehicles using that to get to our land. If they want to walk out there, that's fine.
What he says is, can hunters use it if they're walking?
That's a loaded question. We had this discussion, as some of you may recall, a couple of years ago about advertising hunting, not advertising hunting, posting, not posting, all of that. And the determination was made at that time to not do anything for liability purposes.
Exactly.
So that's the dance that Vince is playing right now. And when we negotiated that easement across that property, part of the term of that was that county vehicles and the owner's vehicles would really be the main ones, except for loggers, that we wouldn't have people coming in and out of there. So
plus they're walking.
Yeah.
So if they want to walk in and hunt, they're on their own.
Yep. Okay, and then at last month's meeting.
What if you're hiking and a deer attacks you and you kill the deer? Does that still count as hiking?
Self-defense.
Where was that land located, Bob?
Paul Hill.
Where was that land located?
Where's Paul. The location of that land?
Paul Hill.
It's in Hartsville. You go when you go down County Route 28 towards Allegheny County, you turn left onto County Route 61, and then 61 goes up a steep hill, and right there where it turns right, you just keep going straight. That's Call Hill.
Okay.
And Tom Ryan asked his last meeting, there were some logs up there.
Mm-hmm.
Was that from our land? And it wasn't, Tom. They are logging the person's property that we're going across. It wasn't logs from.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything more on the land?
No.
Okay. The last month I asked you to increase the amount I had in federal surplus and major equipment because Jerry Miller found a couple of maintenance trucks for a total of $30,000. And you did that, and he made the deal for them. Since then, he found in Texas a $98,000 lift that he can get for about $7,500 delivered.
Mm.
So we need a little bit more money in that. But it's just an FYI, the county manager can make that transfer. Last month, Aaron asked on the wind farm agreement for the roads. Do we have a clause in there for the wind farm companies to use our roads one time? You know, we sign the agreement and then they find they have to use one road one time. Do we have a clause for that? The clause is in there, Aaron, and it covers us and covers them to be able to use it and to cover us in case they damage it. The logging at the Bath landfill. Last month, there were questions. Why didn't we get any bids to look into it? Call them up.
One thing, and we've heard this before, the loggers don't like the red tape of government work. You know, some of them will do it, some of them won't. We actually did work with purchasing to clean it up as best we could, but there's only so far we can. We'll look at it some more. Our forester said that the market for the 225 maple trees is not good now. And the ash trees are not in very good shape. We'll wait till the spring, see if they leaf out. We'll see then if we should bid it again. But right now, it looks like we'll probably wait a couple years and bid the maple.
Isn't it kind of urgent that we get the ash out of there as soon as possible?
Well, the ash is not in good shape. We'd like to get it out of there, but they're not interested.
You know, part of the problem with the ash, it started up here, and then it spread south and everywhere else. But it started up here in Bath when it first came to the county. So the ash trees in the Bath area are in much worse condition than they are down in, you know, in your neck of the woods. You know,
it doesn't hurt us. You know, the ash doesn't. It doesn't hurt us to leave the ash there and they die. It's just that we had, you know, we would wanted them to log the ash, but right now they're not interested.
Okay.
And the last thing I have on the mobile work program, you know, we have four crew leaders. It was down to three, and then we couldn't pick the people up because we couldn't put the I'll call you back, Len. Excuse me. The mobile work program was down to three crew leaders, but we couldn't pick people up. We couldn't put all the clients in a van. It was dangerous. So what we did was Eric Rose took the three crew leaders, and he took care of keeping all the county buildings cleaned with those three crew leaders. And then, you know, I worked with him, asked him, can you also send them to the county shops and parks? And he did that too, and it was a nice system. They all had their different areas. Then he wanted to know if he could paint that building over there with them, all of them. Just take all three of them and paint the building. And I said, that's fine with me. And then when he finished that, we agreed. I've got a the salt sheds are about 25 years old. They're starting to need new roofs. So I asked Eric if he could take one crew up to Prattsburg and fix that salt shed roof. And I think it's pretty much completed now. We have one more, but I think we're gonna have to wait till spring. So that's worked out pretty good, making use of those crew leaders and working with Eric on it. That's all I have.
Okay. Anybody have anything else?
I have something.
John? Okay. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
You talking to me?
Yes.
My question on the single-use roads with the road use agreement was related to security for their use. And I'm not, I know we have a provision in there for a single use, but it's not bonded or anything like that. And I think that was my question, was whether there was a way we could add something in on that.
Let me look it up a second here and see what the wording is. One-time use. In the event developer determines necessary to use a project, developer shall notify the county, describe in detail. If the use is to be one time, county designee shall make the determination to allow the road use without the road being added to Appendix B as a designated haul route. If the developer determines the road may be used multiple times, it may be added to Appendix D as a designated haul route. So does it get included in coverage by the bond? Bonding, a bond or other form of security will be required in an amount to be determined following the establishment of the designated haul routes. So without it being added to the designated haul route, so I
we would still be covered because the bond is not just, we determine the amount of the bond based on the designated haul routes. So if they use a road that's not on the designated, we still have that bond that covers the project.
Okay.
So it would still be covered. We wouldn't release that bond till that road was fixed.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Good question, Aaron. Anything else, Aaron?
No.
Okay. John?
I just wondered if the committee would consider starting their committee meeting at 9:30 versus 10.
What's the committee think?
9:30 or immediately following.
I think if we word it that way, 9:30 or immediately following.
Does that work for you, Vince?
Well, so if I'm here at 9:30, it's all right. You don't want me to be here at 9:10 in case you've done it. Okay, 9:30?
9:30 would be the earliest.
Okay.
It wouldn't start before 9:30.
Okay, then I'll get here by 9:30.
Because what basically what you're saying is if the other one goes till 9:40, we'll start it at 9:40.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if they're not done, whenever they're done, but it cannot start before 9:30.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a motion to that effect? I think we need a motion for it.
I'll second it.
I'll move it.
Okay. Motion and second. Any discussion? It'd be 9:30. The meetings would start at 9:30 or immediately following public safety if it's later than 9:30.
I know we did that with finance and administration earlier, probably this year, whenever. That's worked out well.
Okay.
I'm asking.
Yeah, that's worked out well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
When does that go into effect?
Next month, I guess.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second. Everybody good with next month? Go ahead. Motion and second to adjourn. Okay. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? We're adjourned.